from KTOO in Juneau. I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The U.S. House is expected to vote this week to renew the Violence Against Women Act, or VAWA, which expired in February. The bill authorizes multiple programs aimed at reducing domestic abuse and other forms of violence. It also includes a boost for those who want Alaska tribes to have more power to establish law and order in rural villages. We create a pilot program to allow five Alaska tribes legal jurisdiction to prosecute crimes like domestic violence and stalking. Land-based jurisdiction, or Indian country, would apply to certain property owned by village corporations and villages. The idea that Indian country jurisdiction might apply in Alaska has been bitterly contested, with some of the strongest opposition coming from the state's Republicans. But crime rates are high in Alaska Native villages, and an influential 2013 report said part of the problem is that Alaska tribes don't exercise jurisdiction over territory the way lower 48 tribes do, or have the power to prosecute non-natives for violence in villages. Alaska Congressman Don Young has drafted an amendment to expand the Alaska pilot program in the VAWA bill. In Young's version, a tribe would have criminal jurisdiction in a village where the population is at least 75% Alaska Native. The House is likely to vote on VAWA on Thursday. When a Guardian Flight air ambulance plane vanished on January 29th near the southeast community of Cake, mechanical failures delayed the Coast Guard's Sitka-based search helicopter until the next morning. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, federal authorities are examining the damaged cockpit voice recorder, hoping to piece together the lost airplane's final minutes.
When the Coast Guard received word of an overdue air ambulance over Frederick Sound, its nearest helicopters were about 40 miles away in Sitka. Coast Guard Commander Michael Kale says the air station has three MH-60 Jayhawk helicopters. One is for parts, one is a backup, and the third is the Ready Bird for rapid response.
And so the goal that we shoot for is, from the time of notification, 30 minutes to get off the deck, and then 2 hours to be on scene. And that's where our assets are positioned to enable that.
But according to mission logs obtained by Coast Alaska under the Freedom of Information Act, the Sitka Air Station's Jayhawks immediately ran into problems. The logs indicate an engine contingency switch had malfunctioned, effectively grounding the helicopter.
So now we are looking for other aircraft to bring in. We reached out to the Air National Guard, and they said, well, we can get an aircraft probably in morning time.
A Coast Guard Jayhawk was called from Air Station Kodiak, about 600 miles away.
That process ends up taking about, you know, through the evening. And first light, they're basically on the scene with a new air crew aircraft and underway and out on scene.
That meant there was no aerial search for the first 12 hours. On the water, it was a different story. The Coast Guard cutter Anacapa was already nearby and joined local search and rescue teams that night. The Sitka-based Jayhawk did get airborne the next morning and completed a single search, but it ran into the same mechanical problem and after refueling in Petersburg, returned to Sitka for more repairs. The longest federal government shutdown in history had ended just a few days before. The Coast Guard's maintenance schedule had been affected, but Kale said the mechanical breakdowns at Air Station Sitka weren't shutdown related.
No, it was just a mechanical issue that happens at the wrong time.
Authorities still don't know what caused the Beechcraft King Air 200 to plummet more than 2,500 feet in 14 seconds before vanishing from radar. The cockpit's voice recorder was recovered by searchers contracted by Guardian Flight last month, but the National Transportation Safety Board's regional chief, Clint Johnson, says it's in poor condition.
We're not sure if it's actually impact damage or if it's water immersion damage. However, not all is lost at this point right now. Our engineers in our cockpit voice recorder lab are working very, very hard to try and recover that information and that data. We should know something probably in the next 5 or 6 days here, whether they're going to be successful or not.
The wreckage has since been returned to a hangar in Juneau. Representatives from Raytheon and Pratt & Whitney, which built the airframe and engines, will be assisting NTSB investigators. Johnson said the investigation will likely take some time before basic questions can be answered.
Unless there's something that is a safety of flight issue, something that we need to get out before the accident investigation report is done, it'll probably be another probably 6-8 months at least before anything else is released.
Following the Coast Guard's intensive search, Guardian Flight spent 2 months searching for its lost aircraft and crew. Most of the plane's wreckage was recovered, but last week it announced it was wrapping up its efforts. The bodies of the Juneau-based crew, including a pilot, flight nurse, and flight paramedic, remain lost at sea. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Juneau's newest judge was welcomed to the bench on Friday. He occupies a new Superior Court seat created recently to deal with the increasing number of cases piling up at the Diamond Courthouse. KTOO's Matt Miller has more.
Juneau Superior Court Judge Daniel Shalley has actually been hearing cases since January when he was officially sworn in by video conference. But the public swearing-in and robing ceremony was scheduled for last Friday to allow local lawyers, friends, and family to attend, like his cousin, who traveled all the way from Ireland.
Hi, Daniel Shalley.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
And the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
Shalley was first appointed to the district court bench in Valdez nearly 14 years ago, but Alaska Supreme Court Chief Justice Joel Bolger says Shalley has frequently filled in for himself and others on the Superior Court bench. So he comes at the new job with a lot of experience, which Bolger characterized this way.
I mean, this is like when a woman has a baby that comes out with long fingernails and a full head of hair. This is a mature Superior Court.
The number of cases filed in Juneau Superior Court has been on the rise, up 24% since 2007. So the legislature created a new Superior Court seat in Juneau last spring, followed by Governor Bill Walker appointing Shalley to the seat last November. Ketchikan Superior Court Judge Trevor Stevens, the presiding judge for Southeast Alaska, says that third judge has been a priority for a long time.
Dan, being here is a milestone, I think, for the Juneau Bar and for the Juneau legal community. This position is the result of a lot of brainstorming and effort that began many, many, many years ago before I was a presiding judge on how to bring additional judicial resources to Juneau because it's such a busy court.
And since January, Shalley himself has been busy helping tackle that increasing caseload, ranging from felony criminal cases to high-value civil cases, mental health commitments, and children in need of aid. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
A vacant lot in the heart of downtown Juneau will get a new lease on life this summer. The Juneau Assembly agreed Monday to lease the former Pocket Park on Franklin Street to David McCasland of Deccan Dave's for use as a seasonal outdoor food court. The city also repealed a resolution from 1998 outlawing alcohol consumption on the site. Vendors will be allowed to sell beer and wine there as long as the food court operates. McCasland will provide bathrooms and outdoor seating on the lot. He says his goal is to open by May 1st and operate through the cruise ship season.
Got to get my building permits, hoping everything goes smooth there. And once that happens, I've got some contractors online that are ready to go.
McCasland says he also signed a lease with the owners of the former Gastineau apartments that were demolished on the adjoining lot in 2016. The size of the two combined lots allows him to rent space to the other vendors as well. So far, he says the business lined up, in addition to his own fish taco stand, are Alaska Crepe Escape, Smiley's Old Fashioned Kettle Corn, Glacier Smoothie Silt Soaps, Copa, and a new business that sells tortas.
They seem like a good fit. I actually have spot for one more vendor, potentially.
McCasland first offered to buy the city-owned lot last year after he and other seasonal vendors operating on the archipelago lot by the downtown library learned the owner plans to develop that property. The city opted to explore leasing the land instead, given the possibility of packaging it together with the Gastineau Apartments lot for sale in the future. According to the terms of the lease, McCasland will pay the city $3,250 per month from May through September and $1,000 per month during the rest of the year. And finally, the state has put songs from the Grammy Award-winning band Portugal the Man and four other artists with Alaska ties on hold. A project to replace the sleepy hold music for state office lines with songs by Alaska artists drew widespread attention when it was announced in November. A spokesman for Governor Mike Dunleavy says it was paused shortly thereafter when members of the public raised concerns with some of the music. Matt Chuckrow says the intent is to eventually revive the project and periodically switch out the music. Some partners in the project noted criticism from a conservative blogger who took issue with lyrics from one band and its brand of music. Chuckrow said he was unaware of the blogger's article. Current conditions at Juneau International Airport, 59 degrees, mostly cloudy. If you missed the story, you can subscribe to this daily newscast as a podcast at ktoo.org/podcasts. You can also find some of KTOO's other podcasts there, like Juneau Afternoon, Paying Dividends, and Curious Juneau. That's the latest news from KTOO. I'm Jeremy Shea.